Good morning. Hope you guys are more awake than that, because I'm going to need your help today. You ready? As Pastor Ball mentioned, I've been serving in Ethiopia, but actually today I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to save that for, here's my plug-in, for Mission Sunday on July the 29th. And I encourage you to come out if you're going to be here and not traveling or on vacation to hear the ministry that's going on in Ethiopia and what God has been calling me to do and how to pray for me as I move forward. So July the 29th, the Sunday school hours, Mission Sunday, and you have a live missionary with you. So come on out for that day. But today, I want to talk about this idea of freedom. And, you know, we just celebrated July 4th, and I don't know about you, but for me, July 4th, especially when I'm in the United States, it means so much more to me. I've celebrated July 4th in many countries, and sometimes I've even celebrated with British people, which is kind of awkward in some ways. But you know, it's celebrating the independence that we have as a country. And I don't want to focus on the freedom that we have as Americans. Today I want to focus on the spiritual freedom that we have. And all around the world, we know that people don't have the freedom that we do. Even religiously, but in politically. And these are two pictures of contrasting types of freedom. We have refugees that are fleeing, that have to pick up at a moment's notice and just leave everything behind because it's not safe for them to be in their home. And we know that the United States is being flooded by a lot of refugees as well. And hopefully today I can encourage you to look at freedom in a way that will encourage you to encourage those that have had to leave their homes and shine the light in the darkness in their lives. And then we have the contrasting picture of this family that's playing safely. They're hanging out, they're smiling, they're laughing, they're enjoying life. And I think for most of us, that's how life is. But we also know that there are people all around the world that don't get that privilege. And I think we're beginning to feel that a little bit more here in America with the tolerance that we're supposed to have for those that are different than us. So I really want to encourage us to be thankful for what we have in our freedom. I've rubbed shoulders with people that I heard a testimony of a woman who was a refugee from the Rwanda genocide, who literally in the middle of the night, she was in her pajamas and her slippers. She watched her family being gunned down. She grabbed her daughter, and when she heard everything was okay, she strapped her daughter on her back and walked from Rwanda to Kenya for freedom. And eventually God allowed her to get to the UK and was able to get asylum there. But as I listened to that story, I was like, wow, I have no concept of what that's like. Imagine in the middle of the night being woken up and having to deal with that. But the only thing you think about is, I got to get out of here. And I'm going to grab my children and I'm going to go. And she has this amazing testimony of how now she gives counseling to those who are in asylum situations like that and have dealt with severe things. And I also have rubbed shoulders with women that live in parts of the world where worshiping, they can't even say, I'm going to church. They have to meet secretly. And when people have found out that they've met secretly, they have sometimes been thrown in jail or sometimes have had to pay major fines for believing in Christ. I mean, these women, they came to Switzerland for a training with me, the training I was receiving. When they arrived in Switzerland, they downloaded the Bible on their phones or their computers. But before they had to leave Switzerland, they had to take it off their computers. Could you imagine that? I mean, on my phone alone, I have the Bible in Spanish, in Amharic, and in English, and in English, in various versions. What freedom we have, amen? So let's not take that for granted, and let's think about our spiritual freedom that we can have as Christians, as those of us who call ourselves Christ followers. So what is freedom? It's the quality or state of being free, such as the absence of necessity, coercion or constraints in choice or action, Liberation from slavery or restraints or from the power of another. Independence. I know as a youth, we usually think, oh, yes, when I turn 18, I will be free, right? We often think that, and then we realize, oh, now I have bills to pay. And so that independence is not always what we think it's going to be. The quality or state of being exempt or released usually from something onerous. Unrestricted use, ease, facility. The quality of being frank, open, or outspoken. Improper familiarity. And the boldness of conception or execution. So as we think about this, what does it mean to know true freedom? And I'm talking about your freedom in Christ. What does it mean to walk in freedom? It's one thing to know it, but then to live it out. And then to live not just in freedom, but to live victoriously in Him. These are questions I want to unpack with you this morning, and I hope that this challenges you as much as it's challenged me, because there are times that I probably don't walk as victoriously as I should. There are times that I can feel like I'm in bondage to different things. So I need to hear this just as much as you do, but I really pray that this encourages you to examine your heart and ask yourself, do you live in freedom or do you live in bondage? Because many of us walk around feeling very undefeated, feeling like there's no victory and that there's no hope. When we, as Christ followers, as Christians, have the living hope in us, Christ in us, the living hope, we have that light that this dark world needs to see. So let's walk in freedom. But first, before we do that, let's think about some of the things that hold us in bondage. So I brought some props along with me, myself. All right, what do I have here? First thing, and I'm going to need your help with this. So I duct taped my, what is this? Hold money. Wallet, okay? And these lovely cards that you guys, we get to use a lot here in America. I keep forgetting there's a chip. What is this? Credit card, right? So the first thing that sometimes holds us in bondage is money. Now, for some of us, you might think, no, but see, Rachel, I don't have enough money. Well, that can hold you in bondage. And some of you may say, well, God has blessed me abundantly, and like that can hold you in bondage. And if you need help with that, I can help you out with that. There's many great ministries to give to. But the thing I want you to think about is our finances. Sometimes we're in bondage because of debt. Sometimes it's good debt, but sometimes it's debt that we accredit because, honestly, where do we spend our money? What are your priorities in your budget? If God has given you everything and the money belongs to Him, how much do you give back to Him? How much are you giving to build the kingdom of Christ? So you can be in bondage to your finances, to the money that God has given you. And remember, God has given it to you. So finances is one thing. I don't know if many of you are going to know what this is. Maybe the younger generation may not as much. This is a paper calendar, which I still live by, even though I still put things in my phone. But we can be in bondage to time constraints, to our schedules, to our to-do lists. Because time is our best friend, it's also our worst enemy. How many of you find yourself saying, oh man, I just ran out of time today? Anybody? Or is it just me? Okay. I mean, and I've lived in a culture where time is like totally relaxed. So, you know, hopefully you guys are ready for a 3-hour sermon, right? No, I'm joking. I won't keep them long. But even in a relaxed culture where time is like, you know, they say that Africans wear the watches, but or Americans wear the watches, but Africans have the time. Even in that type of culture, I still was constrained with, oh, I have so much to do. I need to do this and this and this and this. But again, I ask, what are your priorities? How much time are you spending with God? And honestly, there's days that I just, my feet touch the ground, I put on my exercise clothes, exercise, and then I go to the office, and it's like, before I know it, it's 5-6 o'clock at night, and I'm like, where did the time go? And I have not cracked my Bible open yet. or turned on BibleGateway.com and listened to the audio version. Whatever it is that allows me to just be plugged into God just for a little bit of time each day. And so this can be one of our biggest constraints. But remember, and I didn't know this passage, I looked it up, is Psalms 94. It says that 1,000 years is like a day to God. Time is a man-made thing. God, timeless. And so we need to remember that, yes, use the 24 hours God has given to us, but we all have the same 24 hours, guys. Doesn't matter what season of life we're in, we have the same 24 hours. So how do we use our time? And are we in bondage to the things we need to do and the limited amount of time that we have to do them? Am I hitting any chords yet? Hopefully. I don't know. You can't really see this unless you're in the front row. But this is a picture of me and my friends from Ethiopia in the church that I serve in there. And relationships are blessings. But relationships can hold us in bondage as well. If we are spending all of our time with our friends, but yet we say, Jesus is my best friend, but we have no time for him, right? Because he gets the leftovers. Like he might get the leftover of our finances, the leftover of our time. You know, we need to think about this. And also another thing to think about is our relationships. Are they ones that are building us up and edifying us? Or are they tearing us down? Are they not helping us to grow in our faith? And I used to always do this visual with when I worked with teens. I would have one stand on a chair and the other one on the floor. And I'd ask the person on the floor to see if they could bring the person from the chair down just by pulling them. And it was super easy, right? You guys ever seen this before? But then I would have the person stand back up on the chair and I'd say to the person standing on the chair, okay, now try to pull the person up. It's a lot harder to pull somebody up than it is to tear them down. So are our friendships ones that are helping us to grow in our faith? Are they ones that are saying, hey, I'm like reading the Word of God and this is what God's teaching me? Or, hey, I've just done this Bible study. I think we should do it together. I heard this amazing song on the radio and I think like it really touched my heart. Or, I have this thing that I need prayer about. Can we pray about it together? Just things that allow us to be united as brothers and sisters in Christ. So are our relationships holding us down or are they building us up? And what we do with our friendships as well. The activities we do, which as we go read the passage in James, we've got to make sure that some of those activities are not things that we're doing because those activities are called sins. So our friendships can also hold us in bondage. I have a little, what is this, guys? Oh, thank you. Okay. Nightlight. This represents fear. And, I mean, as a child, I was always afraid of the dark. I still kind of am a little bit, if I have to confess. But, as you grow up, your fears change, right? For most of us in this room, we're adults. And so maybe it's the fear of failure. It's the fear of not being as successful as we thought we'd be at this season of our life. Maybe it's the fear of, I'm not a good parent, I'm not a good spouse, I'm not a good friend, I'm not a good sister, brother. Whatever it is, we have these fears. It could even be the fear of, I'm not doing enough for God, or I'm not loving God enough. We don't want to be in bondage to these fears because it says, perfect love casts out all fears. And if I could plug this in the wall and a light would turn on, which means that I can shine my light for Christ. And I don't have to walk in fear, but I don't have to walk in darkness, but I can walk in light. So are you in bondage to different fears in your life? And for you, you need to ask yourself, what are those fears? Because I can't speak for you, I can only speak for myself. I've saved this one for last, because I think that honestly, this can sometimes be something that holds us in bondage the most. And I have here a mirror, right? And if I look in this mirror, who will I see? Yeah, Rachel, I will see myself, right? And if I hold it up, you will see yourselves, right? But who are we supposed to reflect? You guys are really quiet. Jesus, right? We're supposed to reflect Jesus in our lives. So if we look at this mirror and all we see is ourselves, and all we're thinking about is ourselves, which is going to reflect in our finances and in our time, in our friendships, in our fears, and we're not reflecting the life of Christ, we are going to be in bondage, because as we're going to be learning, that means we're walking in the flesh. We're walking for me. We're walking for I. Number one. Numero uno. Antena so. Okay? So we need to put away this mirror and examine our hearts so that when we pick it up again, we will reflect the life of Christ. We will reflect Christ to others. Because we live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. Do you agree with that? We live in a world that needs to see the light. But we need to be able to reflect that light to the people around us. I could probably list a bunch of other things that keep us in bondage, but I want you to think about it personally yourself. What are some sinful behaviors, attitude, relationships, or whatever that hold you? I put us, but then I put you, because I want you to individualize this. Hold you in bondage. That won't let you get to that next level of your walk in faith in Christ. Today, ladies and gentlemen, can be your day of freedom. It can be your July 4th. Anybody want a July 4th? Anyone need a July 4th? Today can be that day. So, what is bondage? I came up with these acronyms. Being of need of daily affirmation and good excuses. Being of need of daily affirmation and good excuses. Think about it. If you're in bondage to something, we say, well, you know, that's just who I am. That's just part of my DNA. That's just part of my innate nature. Well, newsflash, we're all sinful. Like, we are innately sinful. So yes, we all will sin. But when we accept Christ into our life, we become a new creation, which means we have new DNA. Which means that our sinful nature should be dead. We should be dying every day to ourselves. So we can't use that excuse of, well, that's just who I am. It's just my characteristic, you know. I've had that problem since I was a child. I mean, you can ask my mom. I used to have like this terrible temper. Anger was this thing that had this grip on me, and it still does. It creeps up every once in a while, and I'm like, get down. Because I don't want to be an angry person. Anger is not a reflection of God. Anger is not love. Anger is not patience. And so we need to, like, stop saying, well, and I used to use the excuse, well, I have red hair, because I did. I had beautiful red hair, if any of you remember. And I'm like, redheads just have bad tempers. What? Hogwash. Like, that's just an excuse to just say, well, this is how I should be. Again, oh, I don't have time to be with God. Seriously? You don't have 5 minutes of your day that you can just open up the Bible or put BibleGateway.com and go to audio and listen to it as you're getting ready in the morning. So sometimes I do that. You don't have 5 minutes to sit down and say, God, thank you for another day. I'm alive. That's a blessing. That's a gift. Just read one verse. Meditate on that verse all day. We have time, folks. We have finances. God has blessed us abundantly. But we come up with all these pieces. Well, you know, like I have a mortgage to pay and I have car payments. And I get it. Life is expensive. But eternal life? You can't put a price on that. So you have to think about these things. I'd rather have freedom, which is facing reality, eager and excited. Dependent on the Master. We sang this song, Ready to Do Your Will, and I noticed the word Master. We're dependent on the Master. And Vicky didn't even know I was going to talk about that. But that's just how the Holy Spirit works. He ties everything all together. If we have true freedom, we are not just facing reality like, oh my goodness, life is tough. But we face it excited and eager, but we're dependent. Oh, I know I said a countercultural word. Because Americans, we are very independent. That's what all my African friends would say. All my Latin American friends would say, oh, Americans, you are very, very independent. So I'm like, yeah, we are taught to be independent since we are babies. Right? But God doesn't want us to be independent. He wants us to be dependent on Him. Dependent on the Master, because only He knows us the best, that because He created us. So are you in bondage? Are you needing that daily affirmation? You're a good Christian, good dad, good mom, good friend, good sister, good job. You gaze towards that. Or are you saying, Master, I'm dependent on You. And wait until we get to heaven where He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's whenever we really will see God, if we can let go of that bondage and live in freedom. So we looked at John 8, and I want to encourage you to read John 8 for yourself in one of those devotional times that we all need to have. And as we kind of look through that chapter, it starts off with Jesus being confronted with the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees always tried to put Jesus in a corner and always tried to trick Him up. So they bring an adulterous woman. And I know you guys know this story, right? They bring an adulterous woman to Jesus and they're like, look, she's sinned. She's gone against the law. And they have their stones in their hand and they're ready to just throw them at this woman. And Jesus is like, all right, fine. Any of you around here, if you are without sin, go ahead, throw the stone. Oh, man. Boom. Rock dropped, right? Not mic drop, rock drop there. And they're like, oop, you just hit a nerve, Jesus. None of them could say they were without sin, and they went away. But they still came back. And then Jesus proceeds to talk about in verse 12. He gives the gospel message. He's like, guys, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We can be that light for other people. The Pharisees are listening to this, and they're going, okay, how can we trick Jesus again? So later on in that passage, they're like, well, you know, Abraham is our father. And so, who's your daddy? That's not really what they said, but, you know, I put it in my phrase. Who's your daddy? And Jesus is like, God the Father, the creator of all. And they're like, no, you can't say that. That's heresy. But again, the Pharisees knew God in the aspect of they had studied the scriptures. They had a lot of them memorized the scriptures. But they didn't let this book change their life. It was all up here. It was all an intellectual relationship with Jesus. Or intellectual relationship with God. And you know, I did Bible quizzing. I've memorized scripture since I was a child. And I praise God for that, because now I can use that as a weapon against Satan. That's my sword of the spirit that I like jab Satan with whenever he tries to attack me. But if you don't do anything with what you've learned, it's just knowledge. I want to have more than just knowledge. I just don't want to be smart. I want to be wise. And so, you know, many of us in this room, we're like, well, I go to church. I mean, I've got perfect attendance. I've always gone to church my whole life. Well, guess what? When you get to heaven, Jesus isn't going to say, can you show me that certificate that showed that you were a member of Northern Alliance Church or that you went to church every Sunday? He's going to say, that's great, but that's not going to get you into the kingdom. It's that personal relationship with Christ where you have taken the knowledge you have and you have let it sink to the core of your heart, where it changes who you are, it changes how you live your life. That relationship is what gets you into heaven, not your stars for attending church or giving. All those things are great, but they do not save you. So, do you know your daddy? Do you know God, like, personally, intimately? Not just, oh, I can list the characteristics of who He is, but do you know Him? Like, when we were singing that song that today about how, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Like, were you just singing that, like, yeah, praise Him, where you like praise him, like, does that change the way that you approach singing, the way that you approach life? All right. Jesus has done all of this. He's talked to the Pharisees. He's confronted the adulterous woman, said, go and sin no more. Then he finally gets to these verses that we highlighted this morning. If you abide in my word. So if you stay connected to God's word, and you are truly my disciples, and disciples are those that are sharing the good news with others. It's not just us missionaries around the world or the pastors that preach from the pulpit. You are disciples that should be making disciples, in the words of Lecrae. Disciples that make disciples. Okay? Then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But you have to be in His Word. You have to, like, study this and know this. Know it in your heart. Then you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's this chain of action thing. It's not just like, go to church, read the Bible, become saved, then you're all good. And life's going to be awesome. It requires a lifestyle of freedom. But again, are you in bondage? Are you free? And a lot of people, I mean, you hear this all around the world, and that's what a lot of religions are like. I'm a great person. I'm a good person. I'm morally standing. I don't do this. I don't do that. Da, 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 da. That's do's and don'ts, guys. But when we truly are free, obeying and serving God, it's not going to feel like a chore or something we have to do, but it's something we're actually going to want to do. And I compare this to, like, making my bed, okay? As a child, I was always told, make your bed. I hated making my bed. I'm like, what's the purpose? I'm just going to crawl in there like 12 hours later, right? Like, who cares if it's messy? How many of you, yeah. Anyone relate? But now that I'm an adult and I have my own house, I'm like, you know what? My bed actually kind of looks nicer if I just pull the blankets up, straighten the pillows. I mean, I don't do the quarter bounce or anything, but like, it just looks nicer and I actually want to do it. And that's how it is with serving God. It doesn't become this, oh, man, I have to do this. Why? I get to do this. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And so when we have that freedom, we actually get to see ministry with a wider perspective. I mean, I think about when I stood up here in 2000 preparing to go to Paraguay right out of college. And now, 18 years later, how much God has, the prayer of Jabez, extended my territory, has allowed me to see the world and has allowed me to see the needs of the world, the needs of the people right here. It just makes me be in awe, and I'm like, there's too much work to be done, God. What do I need to do personally? And that's the question we all need to ask ourselves, is it's not, we all have to save the world. We're not going to be able to save the world, but we can help save one person at a time. We can't be that light to one person. So what is your part in building the kingdom? Because if you're truly free, you should be doing that. Again, you don't just save it for those of us in full-time ministry, because we're all in full-time ministry, regardless of what career path we've chosen. Or if we're even in school, we're still in full-time ministry. So, another thing about this freedom idea is that it also helps me to know what I'm fighting for. Fighting the good fight of faith, as it says in 2 Timothy. If I don't understand freedom, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I see a person in the airports or whatever and coming back from their field where they were a military person that served, I want to go up to them and I want to say thank you. Because I know without them, like, I couldn't live in foreign countries, you know, freely and openly, because the embassies wouldn't be there and things like that. So I really respect those who are willing to fight for our country. But if we don't understand what freedom is all about, then we're not going to be thankful for it. If we don't understand what Christ did on the cross for us, then we just take it for granted. We're like, oh, whatever, it's just a holiday we celebrate. Yeah, I think he died on the cross, rose again. Might mean something. But when we understand that freedom that He gave us through His death, it makes us want to have an attitude of gratitude. How do we stay free? I don't want to just talk about freedom and then say, okay, go figure it out for yourself, okay? Let's look in Galatians 5, because there's many, many ideas here. It's how to be free and not be in bondage to sin and excuses. That's what often we call sin, by the way, guys. We call it, it's an excuse. It's just this behavior I have in my life. It's sin, S-I-N, really easy to spell. And the letter in the middle is I, because it's all focused on me, okay? So it's sin. So Galatians 5, if you have your Bible, you can kind of hop through here. And again, I would encourage you to read this chapter for yourself, because it's jam-packed of ways that we can live in freedom. But the first thing it says in Galatians 5 is to stand firm. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm. We see those words also in Ephesians 6 when Paul talks about the armor of God. Stand firm, because we are fighting a fight, a spiritual battle. So we do need to stand firm. Again, going back to your relationships, are your relationships helping you to stand firm in Christ? Are they building you up, edifying you? Okay? And then again, it says, don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Like, why do you want to go back to that life where you were in bondage? Paul's like, you're free from that. Let go. Don't let it hold you down anymore. Then in verse 6, you know, they were talking, Paul was talking with them, and, you know, they're like, well, do we need to be circumcised or uncircumcised, you know? And Paul's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Those are, you're not focusing on the main thing here. It's only faith working through love is what saves you. It's not circumcised, uncircumcised, or what church you go to or not go to church. You know, like, it's faith working through love. And faith, we know the definition from Hebrews 1, is the evidence of things, assurance of things hoped for, when the convictions of things not seen. And Marcy sang about that in her song. Like, I haven't seen you move those mountains yet, God. I haven't seen you part those waters, but I believe you're going to do them. Faith working. It's action. Action is required. Action on our part. Don't just say, I believe. Well, show us that you believe. It should be changing your lifestyle. And love. God is love. If you want to know the definition of love, it's God. But if you don't know who God is, how can you understand what love is? And so many relationships are broken because people don't understand love, because they don't understand God, and it's not centered around God. But God is love. So if we want to know love, we need to know God. Sorry, I'm like old school here, paper and pencil. All right, moving on to verse 13. We're called to freedom, ladies and gentlemen. We're called to it. People will say, what is my calling in life? To be free. God calls us to be free. He doesn't want us to live in bondage. And again, when we have that freedom, we don't go, oh, well, I have it, you don't have it, so have a nice life. No, we don't use it to build ourselves up for our flesh. But Paul says again that we're supposed to love and serve one another. Because how are they supposed to see the light in the darkness if there's no light shining? This world needs love. This world really needs to see what it means to serve somebody and not expect something in return. Very often we're like, okay, what am I going to get out of this? That's not what service is about. That's not what love is about. It's selfless. And so we are to love and serve one another. Again, if it's always about me, 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 then you're going to be in bondage. Because you're not living for God, you're living for yourself. And thinking, you know, where's that mirror? I just want what I want. I don't want to reflect Jesus. We may not say that, but in our actions and in our words, if you find yourself saying, I want, I need, I did, then it is self. It's self-seeking. And we have to work against that because our human nature is selfish and greedy and prideful. But again, the more that we know Christ, the more we walk in His, in the Spirit. He reminds us of the Great Commission found in Matthew 22, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think, you know, for a lot of us, we're like, oh, yeah, but that means I have to, like, talk to people I don't like. Or maybe people that believe completely differently than me, and it, like, completely, you don't know what to do about that. Just love them. Smile. Like, just share joy with them, you know? Say hello to somebody. You know, you don't have to walk up to them. And here's the 12 steps of faith, and this is how you come to Christ. It starts with you just get to know that person. You say hello. Hey. Maybe you cross your driveway. Hey, did you have a good day today? You know? And little by little, you build those relationships. And you love your neighbor. Because that's how people see Christ through us. Verse 16 reminds us to walk by the Spirit. Again, this is action. It doesn't say to sit by the Spirit or sit in the Spirit. Yes, there are times for us to be still and know that He's God. But if we're just sitting there and be like, oh, this is great, a great love fest with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And we never open our eyes and see the people around us. And then we need to walk. And Jesus, if God says, go to the right, you go to the right. He says, go to the left. Go to South America. Go to Africa. Go wherever. You have to walk by the Spirit. It doesn't say walk by what I want. That's not what it says. Walk by the Spirit. Why? In verse 16 it says, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're thinking about God and you're thinking about the Spirit and you're kingdom focused, you're not thinking about what you want. You're thinking about what does God want in this? It is so countercultural, I know. I'm sorry. Sorry if I'm striking a nerve. Actually, I'm not sorry. But everything that God says is countercultural, guys. Because He tells us to be in the world but not of the world. So we should be different than the people around us. Verse 17, we realize that the desires of the flesh, those go completely against the desires of the Spirit. But we have to choose. Who are we going to live for? Are we going to live for ourselves? Or are we going to live for God? And I ask myself that question all the time. I'm like, okay, Rachel, you have a choice here. You're going to do what you want to do? Or are you going to do what God wants you to do? And so that's a question to always be asking yourself. Always thinking that through. I love this illustration that we are led by the Spirit. And we're not under the law. And I think about the idea of, and I saw this once, was an older couple, and the husband took his hand and put it on the small of his wife's back, and they just walked side by side, and he led her. And I was just like, that's just beautiful. I mean, that's love. He wasn't like pushing her and saying, go this way, woman. No, it was just this gentle walking side by side, doing life together. And that's what it's supposed to be with Jesus. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to push us. He's not. If you don't want to serve Him, I mean, He's not going to push you. But He does want to have that relationship with you. He guides us. He leads us. And we're not under the law. When I think about that, it's like this pressure. I have to do this. If I don't do this, da-da-da-da-da. That's legalism, ladies and gentlemen. Which is not how Christians should live. We are not to be so legalistic that we can't think outside the box and people around us won't be able to relate to us. And we actually give Christianity a bad name when we do that. Because then people are like, oh, you know those Christians, they never do this, never do that. You know, we are to be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you. And He may say, go have a conversation with that person over there, and you're like, ooh. But they don't look like the type of person to have a conversation with. Do it. Go do it. Walk by the Spirit. Go have that conversation. It's going to be uncomfortable. Trust me. It's going to be hard. But you choose to live by the Spirit instead of living by the flesh, you will have great freedom in life. Because verses 19 to 22 talk through all those things that when we are living by the flesh, this is what our life is going to look like. These are the lifestyles we're going to have. And I would really encourage you to read through those and ask yourself, am I doing any of these things? Subconsciously? Consciously? Is this how my lifestyle is? And, you know, there's things in there you're like, oh, I don't do sorcery. You know, or, you know, some of these things that sounds just like, whoa, that's way out there. They only do that in Africa. Idolatry? Idolatry is anything that is more important to you than God. Time, money, friendships, yourself, your things, your career, your family, your title. Any of those things can be idols in your life. God, number one, numero uno. Jealousy? It's okay to be jealous, right? No, not really. That's a sin right here. Fits of anger. That strikes a nerve for me. Rivalries, dissensions. Do you cause division in people, or are you bringing people together? Are you a peacemaker? Envious. Are you envious of people that have more than you? Or are you content with what God has given to you? Drunkenness, orgies, things like these. Because it says those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because again, your lifestyle is not reflecting of that of Christ. And it says in verse 24, and those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified, dead, bye-bye, gone. So we take these things that are in our human nature and we give them to Christ and we say, when you died on that cross, you nailed that to the cross. And then we don't need to live in bondage to that anymore. Amen? That's a good thing, right? That's how we live in freedom. And then we get to these verses after all these sins, these lifestyles, and then just the verses we know, guys. We've memorized this, so help me out with this. The fruit of the Spirit is? Against such thing there is no law. I never really understood that part of the verse. I'm still trying to figure out what it means. But remember it says that we're not really under the law? Okay? That's a package deal, guys. The fruit of the Spirit. It's a package deal. You get all of them. Not, I want this one and this one and this one and this one. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is a singular verb. Sorry, I'm a teacher, but this is what I do. Okay? The fruit is all these things. And if you notice it, it's actually the opposite of all the things listed in 19 to 22. So guys, you're either choosing to live in the flesh or live in the Spirit. Walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. You choose. Again, it's this choice that God gives us. He's a gentleman. He's going to encourage us. He's going to lead us. But we have to choose whether or not we're going to follow. Almost done, guys. Almost done. And I want to encourage you, because how can you say, well, it says by your fruits, people will know that you are a Christian. And I think, again, that's why it's hard for non-Christians to believe, like, well, why do I need to be a Christian? How is my life any different than theirs? And that's where I feel convicted, especially when I'm driving a car, because I know I don't always shine for Jesus behind the wheel in any country. You know? And I would add on there, like, about the idea of forgiveness. You know, if we're not forgiving, we prayed, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have committed debts against us. Our trespasses, sorry. I always get confused with version, but forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. So it's this thing that we need to be part of. It's this constant forgiveness. Verse 25, live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's this reminder, okay, God, we've talked about all these things, so live by it. Keep in step, day by day, step by step. And then love one another. Closes out the chapter talking again. What are we supposed to do? Love one another. They will know we are Christians by our... What? I'm going to try that again. They will know we are Christians by our... Love. If we're not loving one another, and I'm even talking about those that don't believe the same way we believe. Love one another because that's how they're going to know who God is, because God is love. Amen? So, it says don't provoke, don't be envious, don't be conceited, because again, those are all reflective on who I am and bring attention to me. God is not going to be like that. Okay? We need to be the opposite of envious. We need to be the opposite of conceited. We need to be humble. Pastor Bob read that verse. Humble yourself before the Lord. He will lift you up. So, leaving you with these thoughts here. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, we have a new covenant with Christ. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Oh, I'm not convinced, man. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Okay. Anybody you ever watch Braveheart? William Wallace at the end? You know, he's about to get his head chopped off. What is it? Freedom! Can I hear that? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Thank you. Live in freedom, guys. We have a new covenant. The Holy Spirit lives in us when we become a Christian. We have that freedom. Live in that freedom. Don't be afraid of it. Don't hide your Christian passport. You're like, oh, I don't want anyone to know I'm a Jesus follower. What's the worst thing that can happen? You can die for your faith. Then you get to go be with Jesus. That's a good thing. It's good to be a martyr. Not saying that that's what I want my life, but we should be willing to die for our faith. Christians all around the world are doing it every day. All right? John 8:32, which is in your bulletin, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you need to abide in His Word. Okay? So if you are free, this is what God calls us to do. I've called you in righteousness to do the right thing. I will take you by the hand, and I will keep you. There's that relationship He wants with us, that intimate relationship. When He holds somebody by the hand, it's not just like, okay, you sit over there, and you sit, and then we're going to walk kind of parallel to each other. No, He takes us by the hand, and He keeps us. He protects us. I love that promise. I give you as a covenant for the people a light, going back again, the light in the darkness for the nations, to open their eyes to the blind. And this may not even be a physical blindness, but we're talking about a spiritual blindness. People who are walking in darkness are spiritually blind. They don't know that they're living in sin. So we are to shine that light, and we want to be like, you know, the little bugs that come up to the light and can't get away from the light. We want to be that to people. We want to be that light that they're like, I gotta know what this is about. To bring the prisoners from the dungeons, the prisons that those that sit in darkness. Again, to help people to not live in bondage. Sorry. But to live in freedom. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in bondage. I want to be free. And not just because I'm an American and I come from this blessed country, but I want to be free because Christ has set me free. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Whoops. Sorry, I'm going ahead of myself here. So, questions for you to ponder as we close up. Do you know the truth? Jesus said, I am the way and the... No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus, guys. But do you know the truth? And not just the intellectual, I know who Jesus is, but do you know it, like, in the core of your being? Has it changed the way you live your life? And are you truly free? Or are there things in there that we read about today and you're like, oh, man, I need to take that to God. I encourage you to do that. And we want to do this thing, it's this coin word we use a lot in churches, repent. That means we turn our back and we walk in a different direction. We don't keep walking in that sinful direction. We turn our back and we walk in the way God wants us to go. And then, are you walking in the flesh or in the spirit? That's a question to ask yourself all the time, not just today. All the time. When you make decisions, are you walking in the flesh or in the spirit? Relationships, finances, time, fears. You could put anything in there. If you do not know the truth, because we're about to celebrate a baptism, right? We're about to celebrate the fact that, Stephanie has chosen the truth, that she knows the truth, and she wants the truth to set her free. We're going to celebrate that today. That's what baptism is about. And she wants to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. And she's asking us as a church to say, are you with me in this? But if you don't know that, and maybe you've been saved, and you've been baptized, and you've rededicated your life to Christ 5 million times, but you're still like, man, there are things in my life that are not where they should be. I don't care how long you've called yourself a Christian, get those things right with God. Because the world needs to see that Christianity is not this boring, rule-following thing, but there's actually great freedom in it. The world needs to see that living for Christ is a life of victory, not of defeat. The world needs to see that we don't have to stumble around in the darkness, but that we have the life and the light of Christ in our lives, and that we know where to go because God can guide us and lead us. And so if you have any questions about anything I've said, if these questions really like strike something, I encourage you to talk to Pastor Bob, to myself, to any of the elders. We would love to help you work through this and to not be a slave anymore, not be in bondage, but be free, truly free. After baptism, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And you guys probably sung this song a zillion times. But I want you to really think about that. Because the person who wrote that song was actually used to be a slave trader. And he realized, he came to faith in Christ, and he realized that he had done what he had done to all those thousands of slaves. And he's like, I don't know how God can ever forgive me. But above that, he understood freedom in Christ. What it meant, that amazing grace. It's not just grace, it's amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet this sounds. And then you proclaim, my chains are gone, I've been set free. I encourage you to sing that with conviction today. Don't let it just be a song that we've sung a gazillion times in our life. Think about what you're singing. Let it ring true in your heart and your life. Let me pray for you before the baptism. God, we want to praise you and thank you for what you're doing in each one of our hearts and our lives. And I pray that you will help us each to examine our hearts. God, I know that there's things in these passages that you've shown me that I need to take to you. I need to take them to the cross. And I need to stop being in bondage to things. So this is just as much as important to me as it is to everyone here. Help us, Father God, to not obey the desires of the flesh, but to obey the Spirit. And as we hold our mirrors up, God, may we reflect you more and more. And God, those of us that have been Christians for a long time, I pray that you will rekindle that love. Help us to remember that what it felt that day that we said, I accept you. And that we will feel that freedom and continue to feel that freedom and encourage others to walk in that light, not to be in darkness. Thank you for this time of celebrating Stephanie's life and her dedication to serve you. And so we praise you and thank you that we can celebrate and rejoice with her and her family. And as her brothers and sisters, we pray that you will encourage her to grow in her faith and can keep walking in the Spirit. Again, God, move and convict our hearts. Tug at our hearts. Help us to repent of those areas that need to be changed so that we can have true freedom in you. So we can face reality, eager and excited, dependent on you, our Master. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.